Welcome to episode 387 of the Fantastic Forecast. I'm Dave Elliott, and I'll stop doing this podcast after I finish completing my Seven Seals manuscript. Today, Fantastic Four 387 from April 1994. Nobody Gets Out Alive by Tom DeFalco and Paul Ryan. So on the cover of this issue, where it normally says, the world's greatest comic magazine, it says, the world's most endangered comic magazine. Which might not be so true in 1994, but 20 years later, that could be their slogan. The issue begins with a flashback with the Watcher, and we learn that he has an obligation to watch Earth without doing anything, without taking any action or getting involved. But several times over the years, he has violated this oath, usually to help his friends, the Fantastic Four. And there's some ominous narration saying that the Watcher senses this cherished relationship will soon come to a very tragic end. The Watcher remembers his first meeting with the FF many years ago, and how he should have made them forget all about the meeting, but he didn't. And later, he intervened when Galactus was about to eat the Earth, and helped the FF find the Ultimate Nullifier, a weapon they used to threaten Galactus and convince him to leave the planet alone. And finally, he remembers how young Franklin Richards was kidnapped by his grandfather, taken to the future, and he came back as an adult. And in a battle with Dr. Doom, it appears that Mr. Fantastic and Dr. Doom were both killed. The Watcher thinks that the FF are now at a crucial point that will most certainly lead to their ultimate destruction. But then again, the Watcher is a bit of a drama queen. Back in New York City, at FF headquarters, Ben Grimm is relaxing in the living room, reading a newspaper, which are these pieces of paper that the news used to be printed on before you could read it all on the internet. Ben is smoking a cigar and wearing a bathrobe. And under his bathrobe, he's wearing a full FF uniform, boots, and a shirt, which is unusual for him. That's a lot of clothes. Can they not afford to pay the heating bill, I wonder? So Ben is shocked when a strange, prehistoric-looking chicken runs across the room. Scott Lang enters the room, chasing the chicken, asking for Ben to help. Sue enters the room with a Submariner, and she says, "Can't Neighbor and I even go for a simple shopping trip without this whole place going crazy?" Scott tells her to hold on while he continues to chase that chicken. I guess once he catches it, he'll be choking that chicken, because it sure looks like he won't be doing anything with Sue, because she's getting very close to Namor now. Johnny and Elijah the Skrull enter the room, and Johnny creates a circle of flame around the chicken, which only agitates the bird. So Elijah turns into the same kind of freaky chicken, too. This calms down the chicken. Ben says he would have never believed that a Skrull could be so handy. Sue puts up a force field around the chicken to keep it from running away, and Namor says, "So, this is how I always pictured FF headquarters, full of chaos and confusion." Johnny snaps back, "Nobody asked for your opinion, Fishface." He's not too happy to see his sister getting all cozy with the Submariner. Especially, it's kind of weird since Sue thinks that Reed is still alive. Sue says to Scott that she'll take the bird back to the space-time laboratory, which is where she assumes it the animal came from. And Johnny asks Elijah how long she plans to stay in the shape of a prehistoric bird, and she replies, "None of your business. My new friend here is more attentive and attractive than you ever were." Oh man, this is a very chippy group this morning. So they get to the space-time lab, and Scott sends the bird back in time where it came from. Sue explains to Namor that she thinks Dr. Doom teleported Reed away, but didn't kill him. And Scott says he has big news. He's rigged up the time sled to take them to the different places where Dr. Doom's teleportation device goes. It was easy. He just went into the machine and dialed Star 69. Sue is so excited, she gives Scott a big hug. And then, she leaves the room with Namor, leaving Scott to wonder if an intelligent, gorgeous, and powerful woman like that could ever... Nah. There is no chance that she would get involved with a second-rate Ant-Man. Back in the living room, Ben is picking up the newspaper off the floor, and he sees a story about Dr. Doom, who was recently spotted at his castle in Latveria, alive. He says it's probably a fake, a robot, or an imposter, exactly. He shouldn't get all worked up about it, but he does. He runs off to tell the others, and in another room, Lysha is looking at the egg she laid last issue. It's the egg with her and Johnny's child. You know, I don't remember anything about this child, so I'm actually pretty curious about what happens to this friggin' egg. Johnny enters the room, and he apologizes for acting funny at first. He just wasn't expecting her to lay an egg. He wants to talk about their relationship, but when Sue calls, Lysha says they have to go. Back at Castle Doom in Latveria, Nathaniel Richards, wearing Dr. Doom's armor, is using a device called the Thought Imagizer to locate his grandson, Franklin, who at this point is an adult being mind-controlled by the evil Malice. Grandpa Richards uses the Thought Imagizer to send an image of his face to Franklin, where he tells Franklin, "The enemy is almost come. You must make the necessary preparations." And he adds, "My son will aid you. He is the key to our success." And the image of Nathaniel disappears, leaving Franklin confused, saying, "What? What? Don't go! My father is dead!" Franklin doesn't know what to do now. He can't turn to the Fantastic Four for help. His mother hates him. Malice appears in his mind and tells him she can help him reach his dearly departed father. And Franklin has an evil grin as he says, "Yes, yes, there is a way." I'm surprised no one has contacted Agatha Harkness, the witch nanny. She's a servant of Satan. If anyone can contact the dead, she can. Back with Nathaniel, he puts down the Imagizer device and says to himself that his grandson is too trusting, and he feels bad about exploiting him, but when he told Franklin he needed the help of his son, he didn't specify which son. So Reed has a long-lost brother? Huh? Back at FF headquarters, Ben is telling everyone they ought to go check out this Dr. Doom, but Johnny thinks it's bullshit. It's a trap. Dr. Doom is dead. But Sue, she thinks they ought to go see for themselves. Just then, an image of Sue Richards appears floating in the room, and she looks terrified, and she says, "Ben! Johnny! I saw them die! They're both dead! It's my fault the Fantastic Four is destroyed! Mine, and mine alone! I led them on this final quest!" And with that, her ominous message ends, and the image of Sue fades away, leaving the Fantastic Four confused and wondering what the hell that means. Is that an image of Sue Richards from the future? If so, it's kind of odd because Sue is wearing her old uniform, pre-slutty version, and they wonder who killed Ben and Johnny in this hypothetical future. Of course, we just saw Grandpa Richards using a Thought Imagizer, so that would be my guess, that he's playing some kind of trick on the FF, but I don't know. Back in the space-time room, Scott Lang is alone, getting the time sled ready when Franklin Richards shows up. Scott asks him what he wants, and Franklin replies, "I think the answer is obvious." Actually, I don't think it is. Everyone else hears commotion coming from the space-time lab, so they rush over to check it out. They find Scott Lang on the floor, and he says Franklin came in, attacked his mind, and took the time sled. Scott tells them he has a backup of the information, and they can use it to chase after Franklin. Ben is eager to get going, but Sue is worried that it's a distraction to keep them away from Dr. Doom's castle. Johnny thinks they're both crazy. Ben wants to go on a quest in a time machine. Sue wants to go on a quest to Latveria, but Johnny says they were just warned not to go on any damn quest. He says he's tired of risking his neck and wants no part of it, so he flames on and flies away. Later, Sue and Namor are in her bedroom. Ooh la la. And Sue is taking off her clothes. Ooh my. But don't get any ideas. She's behind a screen, and she's just putting on her new uniform. Yes, she's got a new uniform. And this time, she's showing a lot less flesh. A lot less. This new outfit only shows her bare shoulders. No legs, no cleavage, no nothing. Ah, the slutty outfit. It was fun while it lasted. Namor is saying that he kind of agrees with Johnny. He doesn't want them to go looking for Reed. Well, that's a big shocker. She comes out from behind the screen and shows Namor her new uniform. She says it was too flashy for her taste, and Namor says, "I rather liked it." Well, duh. this from a guy who spends most of his time in a pair of skimpy green briefs. He's wearing a nice suit right now, by the way. She excuses herself because she's got business to go take care of. Johnny, meanwhile, is in another room looking at his egg. Elijah comes in, and he tells her that he doesn't want to go on these stupid missions anymore because he's got other responsibilities now. He's got an egg! Unfortunately, they have the egg in some kind of incubator, so no, they don't have to sit on it. Elijah tells him not to use her and their egg as an excuse. He should admit it. Johnny is scared. He's a chicken! He says he doesn't know what he wants to do, and she tells him he better make up his mind. So Sue's getting ready to go on her mission. They've decided to use a time sled to go after Franklin. Scott comes in wearing his Ant-Man suit and says he wants to join in, pointing out that the apparition didn't say anything about Ant-Man getting killed. Like, if that really was Sue from the future, and she was sending a message to the past, would she even bother mentioning Ant-Man if he got killed? I don't think so. So Ben comes in, and he's ready to go, and then next, Johnny enters the room, and he says that he's decided to come along as well. So the four of them get on the time sled, and off they go. Up on the moon, the Watcher is watching, and he's like, oh no. So the FF appear in a room somewhere, in a building they recognize. They walk around, and they see a man working in a lab, wearing a white lab coat, brown and white hair. Why, it's Reed! Sue rushes over, saying,
Reed! Oh my darling! I knew you were still alive! I knew it! Hold me! Please take me in your arms and never let me go!
Reed seems a little surprised. He asks her what happened to her hair and her costume, and why is she acting like that? But then someone else enters the room and says, ain't that a pretty sight? Who are these 14-carat phonies? And the Fantastic Four, they look over, and they see it's the Fantastic Four! But it's the Fantastic Four from the past. Sue has her 1960s haircut. The thing looks like he's more lumpy than Rocky. And so the time sled has taken them back to the past to the early 60s. And that is the end of the issue. To be continued next time, of course. I feel like this was an important issue. You know the phrase, jump the shark? I feel kind of like this is a reverse jump the shark moment, where the Tom DeFalco, Paul Ryan run starts to get kind of good. First of all, Sue has gotten rid of that ridiculous outfit, and here, they start a long search for Reed Richards that takes him through time and all over the place, and you've got Johnny and his egg, and Submariner's around, trying to get it on with Sue. If I recall correctly, this book does get better, I think. We'll see. So that's all I got for now. You can download other episodes of this podcast to iTunes and find them all at www.podcastff.podbean.com. I've posted some of my favorite panels from each issue of the FF on my blog at www.podcastff.blogspot.com. And if you have any questions about the Fantastic Four, about this podcast, or if you need any relationship advice, you can email me at podcastff@gmail.com. So long, kids. This podcast is over. Well, I got to hang on.